I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Did you see during the week a former President Barack Obama returned to the White House for the first time in 5 years? Stephen Colbert said, then hopefully they locked the doors to keep him in. He was there to promote Obamacare and to get that pack of smokes he forgot in the Lincoln bedroom. Seth Meyers said, out of habit, Jeanine Pirro called for his impeachment. That's good. Fallon, yeah, Obama said he would have visited sooner, but gas prices were too expensive. It was fun to see the former president of the White House. Obama felt like a guy who was visiting his old high school, and Biden was like the old gym teacher who never left. Kimmel, it was great to see him there. It was like the White Men Can't Jump reunion at the Oscars. Obama was there celebrating the 12-year anniversary of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and also to help Joe set up his Roku. Kimmel, that's really got to bother Trump. All these lies and schemes and lawsuits to get back in the White House, Obama just strolls right in. From Entertainment Weekly, Idris Elba was talking about early in his career when he was struggling. He said, I did a lot of things, some things I'm not proud of. I used to sell weed. I did that for a little bit, you know, to help pay the way. I DJed quite a bit. I was a doorman at Caroline's Comedy Club in New York, which is fascinating now. And when I met the comedians, I kind of remember the English guy, tall English guy with the funny accent and the little hair. One of the comedians he remembers, Dave Chappelle. Why? Because he used to buy weed from me. Dave Chappelle has previously said that, yeah, he used to buy weed from Idris Elba. Joe Rogan calls The Hangover the last great comedy movie, and he blames wokeness for this. This from Complex. Rogan was talking to Tom Papa and said, is there a woke comedy movies? Is there even an attempt at a politically correct comedy movie? They just stopped making comedy movies. When was the last really good comedy movie? Used to be you would be able to, you know, something about Mary, Kingpin, you just snap them off. You knew what they were. It's like wokeness killed the comedy movie in a lot of ways. Rogan then point out one comedy movie that falls in line with the style of, say, The Hangover, Seth Rogen's 2013 film, This Is the End. It's 9 years ago, Joe. Kenan Thompson's Ultimate Comedy Showcase is in Chicago today. The competition is in its 11th season, yeah? Thompson said, we're very excited. We have two shows. I think it's a great opportunity to discover some undiscovered talent out there. It'll be at the Laugh Factory Chicago today. Kenan says, if you're in the competition, do your homework. Like any job, you should be educated in what you do. If you plan to appeal to a large variety of people, you should know how to not step on toes without it being an artistic, humorous kind of processing of it. Adrian Banker will judge the Chicago Showcase. Kenan's advice for Adrian, keep it real. Just don't front. The worst thing you can do is pacify people. The AP caught up with Lewis Black. He talked about the slap. He said, I've been a fan of Will Smith for years, but I felt so proud of Chris Rock. When it goes wrong, we still have a job to do. Sometimes it's telling jokes. Sometimes it's fighting fire. Chris Rock showed his mettle as a stand-up. He stayed on stage. The camera closed up on his face, and he was thinking, fix this. Deal with everything later. Everyone in the room is expecting to make everything okay again. It was not about him, not about the fact he'd been assaulted. It was about the crowd. They also asked Lewis if he worries about getting in trouble for what he said. Lewis said, only in interviews. If they edit it wrong, it might be read wrong and somebody will get upset. When I'm on stage, I don't go out and think I'm going to say anything that should be considered crossing the line. I may upset people, but I'm not going to make them psychotic. The Guardian has been talking to UK comics about the slap. Zoe Lyons said, that slap wasn't about alopecia. I've hosted a lot of awards, and you do sometimes have people get up on stage blind drunk, and you know in your heart they're about to do something that will probably lose them their job. It's pretty much always taking the mic to make a speech. But there's no way that's going to end well for them, as I suspect Will Smith is discovering. Simply showing up to host an awards makes comedians' toes curl. Your instinct is to gently take the whistle out of people, but awards audiences are there because they take themselves very seriously just for that night. Even if it's for the road lighting industry, surely there's only one award, but you can't say that. My worst was a pensions award. 36 awards to get through. By the end of it, most of us were actually drawing our pensions. That's funny. You have to detach emotionally, keep smiling, but I've never actually seen a comic get slapped on stage in my career. Zoe said, I have alopecia. Watching that joke, I can't help but think that the slap wasn't about the alopecia. I don't have enough information on the ins and outs of their marital status, but the alopecia element, well, it didn't enrage me as an alopecia sufferer, but it did produce, ironically, one of the most hair-raising moments of television I've seen this year. Zoe Lyons hosts Lightning on BBC Two. Us Magazine did a whole piece about Pete Davidson's closet. Hey, it's the weekend. What do you want from me? Pete Davidson got his closet in tip-top shape with help from professional organizers, and the result is a color-coordinated collection of his favorite things. Spiff organizing. They organize closets. This is a gig. Imagine? And they probably made good money from Pete Davidson. Pete Davidson's closet had dark shelves that inspired the professionals when they had to find storage options. On Instagram, they posted, "We tied in black shelving with some black sustainable storage boxes," heart emoji. The Spiff team treated Davidson's clothes with care as they arranged his closet into separate sections and organized them by color. His t-shirts were hung in one area, while sweatshirts and matching joggers hung parallel in another section. Black sweats were folded neatly on shelves, bulky items stored on the top shelf. During the week the Comedy Store turned 50 years old, Howie Mandel talked about his time there. He said, "It was incredibly intimidating. I went out because I had met store regular Mike Binder in Toronto at a club I was playing there, so he got me in. I was more nervous playing in front of Mitzi Shore than any other audience." He said, "Even with an established career, the store felt like the doorway through which journeymen became name brands." Now, he said, "The key was not going on at the Comedy Store, but having Mitzi sanction you as a regular. Anybody who became a regular had an opportunity to make a living in this business, and without access to the Comedy Store stage, you didn't have access to Hollywood." If you enjoy what I do here, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews, and you can buy me a coffee. Here's remnants of this morning's coffee. I could use a new one. Throw $5 in the tip jar, buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Tracy Morgan will host an evening of comedy and cocktails to benefit the Pediatric Cancer Center at Staten Island University Hospital. This show's Thursday, April 28th at 7 o'clock. Tracy Morgan said his accident and medical issues taught him the importance of helping health organizations and its providers. Tracy said, "Giving back to the community means I'm helping others fight against illnesses. I met a child who had cancer and learned all about her story. It changed me forever. I'll do whatever I can to support these types of programs." Many moons ago, before the Oscars, I was telling you about Portland's Funniest Five Comics as decided by Williamette Week. Remember we were doing that? And then I don't know if you saw the Oscars. One of the funniest five is Seth Allen. Right before the pandemic blew up as life we knew it, Seth Allen was bombing. Why did he bomb? This was at the 2020 Iowa Comedy Festival and said, "I went out with some much younger comics the night before and tried to drink with them. I was sick and dead all the next day. That was the last comedy memory before COVID. He wanted to wipe that experience and get back on stage, which you can understand, but then there was this pandemic. Did you hear about it? Big news. Google it." On stage, Allen leads you through personal scenarios with a mixture of innocence, bewilderment, and mischievousness. He says, "In most of my stories, I'm there. It's a surprise to me, and the more surprised I am to be in the situation and the deeper my participation in whatever's happening, the funnier it becomes for people." Allen's 11-year marriage is the basis for some of his most memorable tales, since he mines the differences between him and his wife. She's black, he's white, she's from New York, he grew up in Yamhill, wherever that is, she's 10 years older than him. "It surprises people that we're together because of our personalities, because of our race, but it's really like when she calls me the N-word in public, that's when it really shocks people." Seth Allen, one of Portland's Funniest Five. And from the BBC, James Acaster has completed a 5-week stand-up course for pupils at a school in his hometown. It involved a weekly training session with the comedian and 5 students at Kettering Science Academy. That sounds pretty cool, Acaster said. "The main thing is you find out who you are and you make as much of that as possible. Some of them want to become more confident. Some of them want to have something put on their resume. Some of them want to have the experience of doing something they haven't done before." Catherine is a year 10 student who took part and said, "In the beginning, she had no idea what I was talking about. I sort of had an idea that I thought was funny. I had no idea how to execute it at all, which I've now been helped with a lot." Catherine, I hear you. There are plenty of days when I'm sitting here in the basement with my iced coffee and I think of a story that I think is funny. Just talk into your Blue Yeti microphone and put it out as a podcast. Someone will listen. And thank you for listening, everybody. That is your comedy news for today. Follow this show for free on Apple Podcasts, Google Overcast, wherever you get your shows. If you'd like to become a premium subscriber to support the show for $5 a month, go on over to Apple Podcasts. They will put the option under your nose. For your $5 a month, you'll get the show commercial free and early releases. As soon as I clean up the edit, I publish them. So you're usually getting them the afternoon before the day they're scheduled. Kind of like if you're old, remember there used to be bulldog editions of newspapers? Like my growing up, we used to get the Sunday paper like Saturday at 9 p.m. Now it didn't have any sports or news in it, but it had comics and coupons and features. It's kind of like that, but not really at all because it's a podcast. See you tomorrow.